I want to start this morning by saying that I think this is an opportunity. I know it's, you say don't mix politics and church, but I'm about to swirl the waters. I think it's time for the children of God to stand up and show this world what kingdom we really belong to. Amen? I don't care which side you fall on a political scale. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or independent or disgruntled, whatever party you belong to. I think it's time for us, in person and on social media, to show the world that we belong to God, that we belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. I told you once before, I love the country that I live in. However, I don't belong here. Just like those that went on to this week, Bill and Red, that's where we're going. And so today, let us make a stand, not for a political party, but for a God who has saved our souls. Let's just pray today. And I tell you, when I said a couple of weeks ago that the Spirit shared with me, trust the Father and love your neighbor, God has given me a calm that surpasses anything I could ever do. I can't turn onto a certain channel and be more calm. I can't get there. But I'm telling you, over the last couple of weeks, the Spirit has given me a calm that no one else could ever give. I believe that's true. So let's pray this morning. Father, you're an amazing God, and we come to you today to worship you. We come today to tell you that you are our God, and that we belong to you. Father, we lift up to you those who are and have been elected. Father, for new presidents or same presidents or new congresspeople or same congresspeople. Father, for Joe and for Jill and for President Trump and Melania. Father, for our governor here in this state. Father, we pray for all of them this morning. We pray that you will take from us the angst and anxiety that we deal with in this world, and take it off of our shoulders and give us a renewed spirit in you. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for this world. We pray for your presence in this world, and that your name will be glorified no matter who sits in an office. Father, we give this to you, and we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. See there? Isn't that easy? It's that easy. Let God do the work now. Let God work. Give things to God. That's what he talked about. Turn that back down, baby, just a hair. I told you, turn it up, and I shouldn't have done that. My friend, Jason Thornton, is a minister in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Memorial Drive Church of Christ in Tulsa. And they, for the first time, met in person last week. And we've done that already, so we've already had our first time back after we've been gone, so it's a little different for us. But for them, one of the things that he said in a statement that stuck out is that we are not desperate enough. I thought, wow, isn't that true? Hasn't this time shown us that we simply are not desperate enough? There's this whole, I watched Rick Atchley. He's the minister, one of the ministers at the Hills Church in the Fort Worth, Dallas Metroplex there. And he talked about not knowing. He was asked by Jeff Wallen, what have you learned? And he says, I'll tell you when I've learned it. And I thought that was amazing, because I think Rick is, above all, an amazing person, an amazing servant that God has given his people here in this world. But his statement was, I'll tell you when I've learned it. In other words, I'm still trying to figure things out. I'm still trying to walk through things in this world. You know, a constant prayer of mine has been that we not go back to normal. A lot of times we want to go back, right? I'll apologize to you, and I'll apologize to people on Facebook. Y'all are living my sermons through my life, because this is kind of shares, this is my life shared to you. And so a constant prayer of mine has been, God, take us to where you want us to be. I don't want to go back to normal. Was normal okay? Maybe so. Maybe it was where God wanted us to be at the time. But I pray often, God, lead us to where you want us to be. Make us look like you want us to look. You see, I don't necessarily want to go back to the old, back to the past. Not only back to the bad. Obviously, we never want to go back to the bad. I mean, Kent, when you build a building out there at NIMI and it's crooked, you don't want to go back and build crooked. We know that. You would never do that, right? But we don't want to go back to the bad, but we don't want to go back to the good. We want to go back to the future and what God is showing us and what God will show us to be. Not only not going back to the bad, but I don't want to go back to the good. Now, I know that sounds strange, doesn't it? I don't want to go back to the good things. I don't want to take us back to the back, because truly, this is a moment which we see and say in Christ that I don't want to go back to the past. I want to go back to the future and pray God that that involves the good. I'm going to try to run this PowerPoint today, so forgive me if we're running a little bit off. But in Psychology Today, there was a, which I'm not a big reader of Psychology Today. There are a lot of big words and stuff like that, but I think I can get through this one. But there was a statement that was read that it says, however, I can't quite see, a little dark up there, I'm getting older and needing glasses. However grave its social impact, the coronavirus pandemic will eventually become a memory. Most of the lessons of coronavirus, the clarified priorities, the acute awareness of life's fragility and worth, the new appreciation of simple social pleasures, those grand promises we make to ourselves, we know we've made them, when our taken for granted assumptions are temporarily violated, will fade in time, becoming mere tells of context past, and we will go back to being short-sighted, self-focused, conflicted, and as mired in trivial preoccupations as ever. Now, this was the line that we need to catch from this. Only by becoming aware of this difficult mode in our systems do we gain the possibility of subverting it today. Only by becoming aware that possibly we will go back to where we were and back to the ruts that we were in, and becoming aware of that, will we subvert it coming in the future. Because I believe, ultimately, unless God comes back, that eventually things are going to calm down with this horrible coronavirus of 2020. I believe that we will go past it and move on past the virus. But only when we are aware of what happens when us, in us, and our propensity to maybe go back to what was easy and what was good, will we be able to subvert it. And so that brings us to our lesson today. If you have your Bibles, if not, the scriptures will be on the screen. But if you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 19. Today, I believe truly there's something for everybody. Maybe you've been in Christ for a while and you need to hear this message. Maybe you've never come to Christ. Maybe you've been watching from afar. Maybe you've been kind of looking and saying, I don't know about Jesus. I don't know about church. I don't know about what these guys are talking about, ministry and being involved in the church. I really don't know about that. I believe there's something for everybody, even in between this morning, from the Word of God, from 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha will come after Elijah, and that's kind of where we pick up the story today. And so it says, so in the first part of 1 Kings chapter 19, so Elijah, now Elijah's on, Elijah's a big guy, all right? Elijah is, I mean, he is the hero of heroes. Remember Mount Carmel, remember all the gods of Baal and how he challenged them, you know, and remember how the fire consumed, you know, their gods didn't do anything, and we know why, because their gods really weren't a god. And Elijah's God, which is the God that we serve, he came down and fire came down and consumed the altar and the ground and the dirt and the mites and the dust and the everything around the altar. And a huge, I mean, Elijah through history, through his history, is a huge figure in God's people. And so Elijah went from where he was and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Now, if we were, Bob, if we were probably farmers in that time, we might have one oxen with a little plow behind it. That would probably be a good thing. But here, Elisha has a whole bunch. Matter of fact, he has 24 because there are 12 pair, and he's operating one pair. And so this is kind of where he comes from. And he's living this life. He's living this life of being a farmer. He's living this life of doing what he does. Probably gets up at the crack of dawn. I mean, before that, to take care of animals, to get everything ready. Man, when that light comes up, he's after it with his pair and the other pair with him. Now, he's got some money, we know. He's got some possessions because he's got 12 pair, and like I said, luckily, if you were lucky, you would have one ox, maybe even a pair. And so he gets up, and so he's going through his routine. How often does that happen to us? How often do we have a routine? I mean, I have a schedule here, a date book. Whenever I look at it and follow it, it keeps me there. I mean, it keeps me on track. It keeps me knowing what I'm going to do. I promise you that David knows this week what he is going to do. I know that he has everything kind of set out and some things will be thrown at him, but he's got an idea. You do the same. You have some things that you know are coming. Well, Elisha was the same. He got up and did the same thing every day and worked, and we know that because if he didn't, he wouldn't have the things that he had. And so he was interrupted in the middle of this when it said Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. How interesting. Plowing in the fields, doing his work. Elijah sneaks up behind him. I say sneaks up, he just comes up behind him, puts his cloak over him. Now that's a way of saying, it's yours. That's a way of saying, I'm giving this ministry to you. It's a passing of the ministerial baton, per se. That is Elijah giving to Elisha the ministry that he is going to take in the future. And he just walks away. How odd is that? Does God ever meet you in odd moments? I mean, we think that God's supposed to meet you at church, right? We think that God's supposed to meet you while you've got the Bible open and you're kind of you're reading and you think that God's gonna come at you and God's gonna reveal some great thing to you. But Elisha is plowing in the field, doing what he does every day, and bam, you know? Ibro Lagasse, bam, you know, it happens. Elijah puts his cloak around Elisha. We learn a lesson out of this, that we don't pick when God picks us. You know that? We don't pick when God picks us. If you're new to the faith or you have not chosen Jesus yet, God will find you in the most strange moment, an opportune time, plowing in the field and say, now it's your turn. That's the way that God operates. And so Elisha responds. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. How about that? Left his oxen. We don't know if he left it with somebody. I think he just left them. He knew something special had happened. Let me ask you the question. When God calls you, what do you do? God, I was really busy right now. All right? Didn't you see that I had the oxen in the field? Didn't you see that I was plowing, God? I mean, I think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm working for you. I think I'm doing for my family. I think I'm providing for other people. I mean, this is not the right time, God. This is not the right time to call me. But Elisha doesn't do that. He drops everything and he runs to him. The last part of that verse, I don't think it's coming up. Yeah, there he is. We were on it. Elisha left everything and he ran after Elijah. You see, this is a problem sometimes for all of us. He had everything he needed. We get comfortable, right? If the coronavirus has taught us anything, it's taught us that it messed up our life. I mean, we were about to do some things in ministry. You know those shirts that everybody bought that say Hope and have their church name? Well, they're pretty shirts now, but we haven't done anything with them. We were about to go out to have a family camp. I mean, the elders had blessed us, and God had blessed us with funds to Emily and Jeb, and before Jeb, sorry sucker if you're listening, left us, and I were going to plan a trunk or treat. It was going to be the biggest trunk or treat that we had. How many of you kids were going to go to camp? Encounter, virtual encounter, it just wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same as encounter. If you've never experienced encounter, it's a spiritual movement. And it just wasn't that, watching on our television. You see, God interrupts us, and this virus has messed things up in ways that we can't imagine. But God is calling us, just like he's calling Elisha. Sometimes we're uncomfortable, and we don't like it when God says, come, when he wants us to come follow him. The rich man, when he encountered Jesus, wanted to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story? He said, you have to follow all the rules. He said, oh, that's great, man. I've done it all. I'm on my way. Can you imagine? I mean, he's like, it's like first and goal at the half-yard line. I mean, he is almost there. If you don't know what that is, repent and learn some football, all right? He's almost in the end zone. It's almost touchdown time. And Jesus said something else. He said, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. All of a sudden, first and goal at the half-yard line is fourth and 99 yards to go. And this is what is said. When he heard this, he became sad because he was very wealthy. You see, he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. He wanted God to do something new out of something old. And I think that's where we're at. God, take us back to where we were. But God's not taking us back to where we were. He's taking us to where he wants us to be. The rich man wanted God to do something new out of something old, and he could not do that. God has called us, like Elisha, to run. Where are we running to? I don't know, but God will show us. And we have that faith in him. I listened on the radio the other day, and they said, if you are a vegan, vegetarian, and if I offend somebody, I'm sorry ahead of time, or a flexitarian. Have you ever heard that word, flexitarian? I mean, it's basically in a nutshell, and if you're a flexitarian, correct me, send me an email or a text or come visit with me. Just don't yell at me or have your mask on if you do. A flexitarian is a vegetarian that can eat bacon. Don't laugh, somebody can be a flexitarian. Honestly, here's a picture. Maybe. Right here, this is a picture of a flexitarian diet. All right, you have all your fruits and veggies. I'm good. All right, I eat fruits and veggies, avocados. I don't know why they ever started eating those. Then we have our grains, and we have this stuff that you should, or the peas maybe, but none of that tofu, milks, and ketchups, and eggs. I mean, who doesn't love eggs? And then you have the real thing, all right? You have the protein, the meat. Mine is flipped upside down, and the big one is the meat with a little bit of veggies, but that's a flexitarian diet. I mean, I want to be this, but I like a steak every now and again, all right? If that's not right, if that's not truly how it's depicted, just let me know. But it's going in the sermon that way for right now. I mean, we want some of this, but yet I want some of this. And that's what the rich man's story was about. God, I want to keep what I have, but I want to follow you. I want eternal life. It's an honest conversation that Jesus has with him. He really wants eternal life. But yet he can't give up the riches that he has. God has called us, like Elisha, to run, to give everything up. And so here's a big question. Let me kiss, this is Elisha, let me kiss my father or my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Now, we don't know what happened, the conversations that happened in between. But Elisha knows he needs to come. Elisha knows that he needs to run, that he needs to follow him. And so what happens is, so Elisha, in verse 21, 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elisha and became his servant. No going back. There's no going back for Elisha. There's no going back for him. He went and sold everything, and didn't sell everything, butchered everything, burned his plows. So if he gets into ministry, let's just say he gets into ministry a few years and he's following Elisha a little bit and he says, listen, this was not my plan, Elijah. I didn't really think through this. I didn't think through this lifestyle. I didn't think through what you were calling me through, what God wanted you to lead me through. I just wasn't thinking, and so I'm going to go back. I mean, I've parked the plow. I have to dust them off, and surely some of the oxen have died, but I can buy some more with the riches and the wealth that I have. But this wasn't for me. He doesn't do that. He goes back home. He sends out a message to everybody. There's going to be a barbecue, and he slaughters his oxen. Not only that, but he cuts up the plow equipment because you got to have a fire to have a barbecue, right? I mean, barbecues are good. Barbecues are wonderful. So he has a slow cooker out there, his barbecue cooker, and he probably has a lot. And there's no telling how much he has to cook all that meat for the whole community. He says, all right, I'm in. So he follows. See, family, God has not called us to go back. He's not called us to go back to 2019, February, January of 2020. He's not called us to go back to the ministry that we had last year. He's called us to follow him today. Maybe through this pandemic is what God is showing us, that this world is not what we need, but we need to follow him. Jesus would say this in Luke chapter 9. He would say that they were walking along the road. A man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm in, God. I'm with you. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have their nest, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go back and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Sounds kind of rough, right? God has not called us to a ministry of comfortableness. I think we have too many air conditioners, too many padded pews. Who remembers pews without pads? All right, there's a few that are being honest. I think we've become too comfortable in ministry. God has not called us to a ministry of comfort, family. If you plan on joining Jesus Christ this morning, if you're out there in Facebook world or the radio world, and you plan on following Jesus, he's not calling you to be comfortable. He's calling you to follow him. What do we take from this? Elisha gave everything. God has called us to total surrender. Let me ask the question this morning. Have you surrendered everything to God? Have you given him everything? Have you chopped up the plow, butchered the ox, fed everyone? By the way, I believe that was a proclamation. I believe that was a proclamation to the world and to the community where Elisha lived, that he belonged to God. When I called us earlier to put down the stress, the fighting, the strife, and show this world that we belong to another kingdom, that's what Elisha did. He showed the world around him that he belonged to another kingdom. Cannot follow God and go back. Can I be so bold to say that we cannot follow God here and go back to last year? Now that may call on us as ministry staff, you guys as ministers in this community, the shepherds of this flock, it may cause us to sit down and pray to God, what do you want? It may be a call for us to say, when we come out of this, when you bring us out of this, where do you want us to be? We need to burn the plows. What plow do you have that you need to burn? Today, now. What plow do you need to burn? Not next week, not next year, not when coronavirus is over or settled down. What plow do you need to burn today before you leave this afternoon? Get on your knees to God and burn that plow. Burn that plow and follow him. Because when we follow God, we will find our lives again, even in the middle of heartache. Even in the middle of what we are doing, when we follow God, when we find him, we find our lives. When we lose ourselves for him, Jesus said, we would truly live. What about you today? Some of us have followed God for a long time. There may be some plows that need to be burned. There may need to be a barbecue. Call me over if there is, all right? There may need to be some burning of plows so we don't return. But maybe you haven't given your life to God. Let me do this real quick. For all of us here, we're going to sing a song. Kent's going to lead us in a song. And for all of us here, maybe today's the day you burn the plow. Maybe right now. Maybe you need to proclaim in front of your family. We're family. It's really weird because we kind of everybody looks down front. And so if Madeline were to walk down front, can I use you for an example? I'll probably be in trouble now. People say, ooh, what did Madeline do? Because we think of it that way, don't we? We're just family. She hadn't done anything other than root for Kansas State, but that's her only biggest sin. But we think of that. But let me invite us, if you need to burn plows and say in front of the family, you will not be judged. You will not be judged if we need to surround you and pray over you, if you need to give your life to God this morning, you're here. I want to invite you while we sing that song to come down front and to surrender to God and run to God, to burn those plows and to give everything to God. What plows do you need to burn if you are here? Now, if you're on the radio, if you're on Facebook, obviously you can't get here right now. But what I want you to do is I want you, if you're on Facebook Live or if you're on the radio, I want you to surrender to God just right now. If you're ready to surrender to God, say, God, I am yours. Take me as yours now. If you've never been a Christian, never walked in Christ, I want you to make the decision to right now follow Him, to go get on your knees or just sit in your chair and your pajamas and your hot chocolate and your coffee, because I know you've got it. I want you to just say, God, I surrender all and I am yours. And then what I want you to do, because you're not here with us, and those who are here can come down front while we sing, because you're not with us, if you've never given your life to Christ and you've made that decision to say, I surrender all, and God, I give my life to you, I want you to call the office. I want you to call me on my cell phone or any of the other ministers right now or any of the shepherds or any faithful Christian that you know here. And I want you to call, and we want to see you baptized into Jesus Christ. And we'll make that happen. Whether it happens where you are in the bathtub or you come down here and are baptized, I want you to give us a call. Call the church office. If we're not here, leave us a message. But find a way. If you want to surrender to God this morning, burn those plows and give your life to God, do it right now. Call us and we'll talk about baptism and the total surrender and washing of your sins away. So I hope you do that. I hope if you're out there on Facebook and you're listening this morning and you want to give your life, do it today. If you're here today, you need to surrender again all over. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in Christ. You want to be baptized into Him to have your sins washed away forever and always and live for Him. I want you to come down front and I'll meet you here and we will and bring somebody with you. Don't come alone. Just grab somebody and say, hey, you're coming with me. And come down front. And we'll watch as God transforms you and you begin to run into Jesus' arms. If you need Him this morning, come as we stand and sing.